You're listening to In the Know, a collection of career development insights and leadership experiences from INSEAD, the business school for the world.
Here's what you can expect in this episode.
Women will get to a certain level and then there's the glass ceiling and they can't proceed any further. I think a lot of the research that they've done now says actually it's a broken rung versus a glass ceiling. Yeah. If they're pregnant and they are interviewing for a job, there's always that debate about, do I tell the interviewer? There is still a little bit of bias that as a woman, you need to be nurturing, caring, which is fine, but you should be well-rounded.
So welcome back, everyone, to INSEAD's In The Know podcast. INSEAD is one of the world's top business schools, known for its global reach, the diversity of its student body, and rigorous academic programs. In lieu of INSEAD's Limitless campaign, we'll hear from Priyanka Nath, who'll share her experiences about the challenges and opportunities that she has faced as a woman in the working world. So hi, Priyanka. Thank you so much for taking the time and journeying down to the campus to join us for this podcast. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great and I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you. So you're an alum. So can you just briefly tell us about yourself and what you're currently doing?
Sure. Yes, I'm an MBA alum, batch of July 2009. I'm a senior marketing executive based in Singapore. I have about 16 years of marketing experience across the technology sector, across Google, Expedia, Dell EMC. I'm currently in the process of setting up my own independent consulting business, looking to help growth scale companies expand their business.
Right. So how has the transition been for you from working such like reputable companies to starting your own? What's that journey been like for you?
It's been very interesting. And I think it's trying to reflect on my value proposition, figuring out my offering, and also working on my own mindset. As I move from a corporate setup to being on my own, it has required a lot of reflection, a lot of reaching out to, in fact, my fellow INSEADers in the community, and incredibly, incredibly rewarding because I think you learn a lot about yourself when you start your own business.
Yeah. So like when you are like tackling this transition and when you're doing this on your own, what are the key mindsets and key character qualities that you have noticed about yourself when you're starting this?
Yeah, I think, you know, just as it is when there's ever anything new, I think, you know, we all fall victim to imposter syndrome. And it's that sense of, can I do this? Am I good enough? What if I fail? What if people see that I'm failing?
Right.
So I think as with anything else that's new, where you have to forge your own path, it is dealing with those, you know, feelings as well. And I think as a woman, I think earlier on in my career, I've definitely faced imposter syndrome. There was a sense of trying to fit into the old boys club, about seeking external validation. And I think it's that inner voice. It's the story you tell yourself, the narrative you have on your own worth. So I think it's ultimately about, you know what, I don't know what the road ahead will look like, but I know I'll figure it out. I know my worth. I know my value. It'll take some time, but I know I'll figure it out. So I think that's the approach that's always kept me going. Whichever, you know, turn in the road there is, if you have that self-belief and that conviction, that's enough.
Right. It's very reassuring to hear because I would say the two key things that you have highlighted are the self-assurance and the confidence, which is a nice thing. And I also mentioned that the old boys club and things like that. So yeah. One of the key messages of this year's Limitless campaign is ambition has no gender. So you also mentioned that you've been working in the field for quite some time at various companies. So when you're actually working in these companies, what are some of the common barriers that you have faced that hindered your gender equity in the industry?
I think I can start right from when I entered the industry. I think my first interview to get to an advertising agency, it was going extremely well and very stimulating discussion about the industry. I could feel like we had a rhythm.
Right.
And then the interviewer just stopped me and said, you know, a lot of women say these things. They sound incredibly ambitious and passionate. But 70% of them leave the corporate world to join families. And that completely threw me off guard.
Right.
Because I don't think men in my batch were being asked those questions.
Right.
So I felt like my seriousness and commitment was being questioned.
Mm.
And I think when you hear that at the start of your career, it kind of puts a certain level of pressure as soon as you join to keep proving yourself, to make the organization feel that you're serious, you're committed, you have value, you can fit in.
Yeah.
So I think at the start of your career, when you have that, you put a lot of unnecessary pressure on yourself. Yeah. Sometimes you don't want to ask for help because it makes you appear weak.
Right.
So I think a lot of women may start out with these perceptions. And I think it can get even more challenging. I think a lot of, I'm not a mother myself, but a lot of my friends have faced what is known as the motherhood penalty.
Okay.
Where perhaps if they're pregnant and they are interviewing for a job, there's always that debate about, do I tell the interviewer or not?
Right.
Will I be taken seriously?
Right.
Or I don't say anything now, but I join. And then if I start showing, oh my God, they're going to think I'm not serious.
Right.
Or I need to work extra hard before I go on maternity leave so that they know that I'm committed to this role. They know I'm not slacking off. They know that I'm going to come back.
Mm.
So I almost feel like there's this sense of apologizing or guilt about what is a very, very accepted life decision. And then I think a sense of compensating for it, right? Which I don't think is needed.
Mm-hmm.
I think organizations are trying to put more practices in place so women don't feel the don't feel that penalty. It's about maybe introducing programs like paternity leave, which at least allows the woman to get back to her career if she chooses to do so. That is becoming a little bit more accepted. And I do think that can help reduce some of the bias, as well as it reduces, I think, the lag that women feel because they have to catch up from taking a break. So I think that definitely plays a role. As a marketer and as a leader, I do think there's bias also when women, if we sometimes speak up, we're confident, we're assertive, it gets interpreted as, oh, she's being so aggressive. She's being really challenging. Men don't have that issue, right? I think women get judged harshly when we speak up, particularly if we question the status quo. There is still a little bit of bias that as a woman, you need to be nurturing, caring, which is fine, but you should be well-rounded. And the same expectations of being a nurturing or caring leader should be made of men as well, versus only wanting women to play that role, but not play an assertive role. That's a definite bias. I think some of this still stems from lack of adequate representation. And I think some of that stems from pipeline as well, right? Whether it's do we have enough women entering the workforce from STEM, from business schools like INSEAD? So I believe now the percentages are about 35-36% for the last MBA batch. When I did my MBA, it was 20-25%. So I know we've made a lot of progress, but we still have some way to go. So I think it's representation across joining, making sure women feel set up for success, reducing bias, reducing discrimination, and trying to make sure that they have the right level of support, whether it's sponsorship, endorsers, to get them to a leadership level and then to the C-suite.
So you mentioned that way back when you were just starting your career that you were having an interview that went well, and he stopped you. First round interview?
Yes, it was the only interview.
All right, okay.
Yes.
So when that was happening, I would say that when you're entering the workforce, the people will have a completely different perspective, and it will be a different set of feelings when you're encountering these sort of remarks. So at that point, do you remember how you felt when the interviewer actually mentioned those words and just threw it at you?
I felt very upset.
Right.
I felt exposed in some sense. Mm. And I felt angry,
right,
honestly, because I didn't think it was fair.
Yeah.
I wanted him to judge me for me.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted him to judge me for the interview, which is what it should have been about.
Mm-hmm.
It should not have been about a gender stereotype.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like it was fair. And I remember pushing back and I said, look, I don't know about that statistic.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that I know why I'm doing this and I'm not a statistic.
Yeah.
And I did get that job. I did get two other jobs on the same day. But I think those messages leave scars.
Yeah. What advice would you give to women who might be encountering or have had similar issues?
It's a tricky one. I think it depends on where you are and at what stage of your career.
Yeah.
I do think it's important to speak up,
mm-hmm,
and counter what is being said. And I think that comes from, if you know your self-worth, mm-hmm, if you know your value, you should be able to question and call out bad behavior. Now, the way you do it might be a bit different if you're, mm-hmm, starting out in your career. And I think if you're in a position of power, you should speak up even more to get these policies changed, to get men in positions of power trained so that they know they have unconscious biases that, yeah, need to be dealt with. So I think the answer depends upon where you are in your career, yeah, and what power or influence you have.
You mentioned that your interview incident happened 20 years ago and that you brought it up and recently, and some people also have had similar, mm-hmm, situations. In your opinion, in the 20 years, have things gotten better or have they just evolved into different challenges? Because some new challenges may have popped up over the, mm-hmm, past like 5-10 years. So what's your perspective on that?
I do think it's important to acknowledge progress, right? Like as I mentioned, if I look at the proportion of women studying in business schools, mm, I think that's gone up. Be it in India, where I studied originally, or even at INSEAD, where I studied after. I think volume representation really matters because you have more women entering the workforce. You have more diversity of opinions. So yes, I think that definitely helps. I think there's a lot more awareness than there used to be,
right,
about discrimination, about bias, about microaggressions.
Mm.
There is more awareness. I see a lot more training programs. And I think that's a good thing. I don't think we've solved it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, I think this is generational change.
Yeah.
Because attitudes don't change overnight. And I think it's easier to control for explicit expressions.
Yes.
Right? So perhaps people are a bit more mindful,
mm,
in public settings or on social media. I think the inner feelings they have about an issue, that definitely takes longer. And I think it happens over a period of time, right? And because they've been conditioned to believe a certain way.
Mm.
So, like I said, important to acknowledge progress.
Yeah.
But I still think we have a long way to go. I was reading something recently that I think McKinsey had published last year about, I think initially it was always about the glass ceiling.
Yeah.
And women will get to a certain level and then there's the glass ceiling and they can't proceed any further. I think a lot of the research that they've done now says actually it's a broken rung versus a glass ceiling.
Yeah.
So it's about, are women being set up to get to their first manager level? Are they being set up to get promoted? We are making progress, but I still think that there's a long way to go.
Right. Are there any common issues that you have seen women facing in the workforce now?
I think there are a few, and I think the representation may vary in some shape or form. I think it depends upon, are you a minority in that company? What,
right,
is the representation of women? I think there are times where women still don't feel confident about speaking up,
right,
about raising their hands for a new role, a new project. And I think they may want to be asked to do certain things versus putting their hands up.
Right.
So I think that sense of you don't have to be 100% match for this role or project, that shouldn't stop you from applying. Hmm. I still feel like women, we sometimes constrain ourselves.
Right.
And I think it's, we don't want the possibility of or the risk of hearing no.
Hmm.
But I think actually what happens is then we don't give ourselves the opportunity to hear yes in some cases.
Yeah. Okay.
So I still feel that there is some level of hesitation to trying out newer opportunities, roles that require us to stretch. I think in some companies, women may not feel psychological safety
mm-hmm.
to really talk about what they're feeling. They may feel they have to put on a facade.
Yeah.
So I think it's opportunities there, maybe for women leaders to yeah. set up safe spaces, for women to talk about what their blockers are,
mm-hmm.
mindset, or anything else that's happened. I think it's a lot of the intangibles, I think, that still, I think, may come in the way. There's still a lot companies can do, whether
yeah.
it's employee resource groups, whether it's making sure paternity leave actually gets taken seriously.
Yeah.
And again, do senior male leaders in those companies take paternity leave?
Mm.
Because I think a lot of men look at that and say, okay, this person took it, hasn't affected his career. I shouldn't worry about,
right.
do I fall back?
Mm.
And actually, I'm going to help my wife at least have a choice
yeah.
to go back to her workplace.
Yeah. You also mentioned that along with that sense of confidence and reassurance that it's good if women have their own support networks.
Mm-hmm.
How important has your own personal support network been for you?
Incredibly helpful. I think there are times when you also don't realize whether you are making a mountain out of a molehill, right? So I think it's being incredibly open, vulnerable, mm. honest. And I think if it's great to do it with someone who doesn't have a stake in your situation at all, because there's no fear of losing face. You can be completely honest. You can let your guard down. You can talk about what you're feeling, and then just try to get the other person's perspective and sense of, this is where I'm at, this is what happened to me. Mm. Can you help me unpack it? And typically, if the other person has had a shared experience in their past, mm. that's where you can try to relate.
Mm-hmm. So I would say that when... You mentioned that it's good to talk to people who might not have a stake in it, so that they can give you like free advice. And on how do you actually go about picking these people in your networks? Is it completely subjective based on who you feel most drawn to? Do you rely on mm-hmm. friends, or in your personal experiences, have you relied more on your friends or your family or even people at work?
I think it's a mix. I think it's a few close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the friends who know you really well and know your journey, know what you're about. It could also be one or two colleagues in other teams, not in the same team I'm in, but mm-hmm. in a separate team. I have had mentors in the workplace as well. It could be I bring it up to them to say, I'm struggling with this. I would love to get your take. So I would say it's a mix, and sometimes I try to get something different from each of them. If it's a friend, you actually want to be heard.
Mm.
You want a little bit more of that emotional support. But if I ask a more senior person in the organization, I might be looking for potential solutions or ideas about how to move forward.
Mm.
So I think if you have a mix of them, you know how to harness,
mm.
you know, the support better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it helps you to get a well-rounded perspective on how you can move forward.
Right. Is there a significant moment in your career or in your life that you feel has played a significant role in shaping you into your who you are today and in your professional growth?
I think there have been many, to be honest. And even that experience that I spoke about earlier, it did plant something in me. It was formative, right? I think after that, it's probably the first time I started to manage people. It taught me a lot about working with people with very diverse backgrounds. Right. There was a sense of how do I pay it forward? How do I make it easier for women who are just starting out? I'm grateful to the women that came before me because they've bulldozed the path ahead. Right. And it's made it easier for people like me. When I started to become a manager in the last few years, mentoring more women is very, very rewarding. Because if you can make it easier for people who are just starting out, there's no better gift you can give the newer generation. So that's very rewarding. If you can help them with their blockers, or if you can talk to them about finding that inner voice, or encouraging them to stand up for themselves or take on that exciting opportunity, even if there's a bit of fear. Mm-hmm. I would say the last few years, as a manager and as a mentor, I think that's been incredibly valuable.
Now, you mentioned that you're an alumni from INSEAD.
Yes.
So what initially led you to pursue your MBA at INSEAD?
Well, I was looking for a fantastic platform for, I would say, broad-based foundational learning. I had already studied communications in India, so I wanted to look at a compact foundational grounding across disciplines. And INSEAD really gave me that package. I was also looking for a school that was known for diversity. And I think 70-plus nationalities, people across geographies, backgrounds, gender. I think that is incredibly unique. And you don't realize how unique it is until sometimes after you graduate as well, when you literally feel like, you know, I could be traveling anywhere in the world and I know that I have a ready network, because there will pretty much be INSEADers everywhere, right? And you don't think about that early on, yeah. But in this day and age, the people you know are so important to your success. I find that incredibly useful. And I think just looking at the sheer quality of the alumni that INSEAD has produced. So when I was doing my research, I think all of those factors played in.
Right. So when you were doing your MBA, I'm pretty sure you've learned a lot of things about yourself along with the education and the curriculum that they've given you. Are there any key takeaways that you have had from your time at INSEAD that have helped you in your career?
Yeah, absolutely. I think obviously getting the foundations across operations, finance, strategy, incredibly useful. But I think what to me was really interesting was INSEAD really encourages learning from your peers, both within the classroom and outside the classroom. And I think that was a little bit different from the way I had been, kind of educated in the past, which was more one-way teacher telling the student versus learning from peers. And I think that really enables you to strengthen cross-functional collaboration skills. And as a leader, you rely on that more and more because you're not making decisions alone. You are consulting other people in the organization. You're building trust with stakeholders. So being able to learn from and work with diverse groups of people is incredibly valuable, right? So I think that's one of the intangible things that really, really I found very useful for sure. And I think, again, you don't think about it as much when you're studying it, but organizational behavior, understanding dynamics of groups, incredibly important, especially if you work in a large multinational where you have to build influence, you have to navigate various layers and build trust. I would say those two or three really stand out because they prepare you for what's coming up.
Right. So have there been any particular role models that you've had in your life who have inspired you along your journey?
Yeah, quite a few. I think I'll start closer home. I think my parents are my biggest inspiration. Growing up, I never felt that there was anything I couldn't do. They always encouraged me to pursue my dreams, to study further, to be financially independent. They encouraged discussion and debate. So we would have lively arguments at dinner. And that felt very normal to me. So I think, you know, it's really formative. If you start out that way, you develop your voice, you develop your sense of confidence, and you are more inclined to speak up because you've been doing it. My parents, as well as my sisters, I think have been role models for me. Apart from those, I think maybe the two women that I have felt admiration for, Barbara Streisand. So I think I found it incredibly interesting that she started, obviously, as a singer, but then she became a director at a time when women were not known for getting behind the camera. Mm-hmm. They were not known for being creators. But singer, actor, writer, director, and sometimes all at the same time. The other person that I've admired is Michelle Obama. And again, it's because just like Barbara Streisand, I think she was put in a box as first lady. That didn't stop her. And it's she moved beyond the customary first wife duties of picking out china for like dinner table parties, right? So I love that because both of them have been put in a certain role by society. But they've broken out from those roles. So they are limitless, right? There you go.
nice plug there. So thank you so much for sharing about your story and for giving us so much insight into like your thought process, your support system, and what you hope to achieve in the future as well. So in closing, is there any message that you have to all the women out there?
Believe in yourself. You know your worth. You know your value. Make sure you understand that, you communicate it, you stand up for yourself. And particularly if you're a senior woman leader, you help break down bias, you look at systemic reform, and you make it easier for women who are just starting out.
So thank you so much. Some powerful words there for you folks. So thank you so much for your time in watching this episode. We hope that you have learned as much as I have. And if you want to know more about INSEAD's Limitless campaign, head over to INSEAD.edu/limitless to learn more. Thank you for your time.